Well, good morning. Will you open your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Actually, I notice in the bulletin it says that the subject this morning is the Tower of Babel, and I'm sorry I didn't read your bulletin. Two or three chapters assigned to me, and I thought, well, the first week we speak on the covenant with Noah, and then the second week we speak on the covenant with Abraham. Just bring that covenant with Abraham right on behind the covenant of Noah so that we can get a back-to-back comparison of those two covenants. Let us learn one covenant from the other. And next week, I'll, of course, have a message within these chapters, and I'll try to mention the Tower of Babel. The book of Genesis is just a great book because it's a book of beginnings. The name Genesis itself means beginning. I remember one time at Exxon, one of the vice presidents of Exxon in research, woke up one morning to find that Exxon was behind in a product that they were selling, and he was very fearful. He was fearful of his job. He was fearful of the company's reputation, and so he took about 15 or 20 doctors of physics and doctors of chemistry, and he put them on this special task force. And he said, "Listen, we're going to start a ground root program here. Starting from the very beginning, we're going to develop a new product that is going to be better than our competition. We're going to get back into the winning column." And he called that concept Genesis. Kept talking about the Genesis project, the Genesis project. And one day at a dinner, he was having dinner with the president of the company. And he, of course, being the vice president, he was talking about this new research project. We've got this Genesis project going, and so on. The president just said to him, "Well, you know, I hope for your sake that the Genesis project works, because the next book in the Bible is Exodus." And and so on. It was a pretty quiet dinner after that. Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. "The Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, the Lord had spoken to him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. This is actually the first indication of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And he made it with Abraham. Abraham was 75 years of age. He was living in a heathen land. And God came to him. He gave him these words and established his covenant. Now, last week we said that covenants are agreements that God makes with men. And if you pick up your Bible, you find right in the heading that it's divided into two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament and covenant are essentially the same as far as the Bible is concerned. When it says the Old Covenant, it's speaking about just one of the covenants in the Old Testament. That was the covenant God made with Moses. Covenant that God made with the children of Israel. That's the most dominant covenant. It involves the Ten Commandments and the Passover and the Feast of the First Fruits. It involves the sin offering and trespass offering and meal offering, the building of a tabernacle, the building of a temple, the Levitical priesthood, and so on. And if you think about it, a great deal of the Old Testament has to deal with that covenant that God made through Moses. And so for that reason, the first part of the Bible is called the Old Covenant. But there are other covenants in that first part. God made a covenant with Adam. God made a covenant with Noah. God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with David. Of course, as you get on in the Bible, in the second part of the Bible, you read about a very important covenant that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was crucified, he took the bread and he took the cup. And as he passed the cup to his disciples, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." And, of course, that's what we're most interested in of all the covenants. It's nice to know the covenant God made with Adam, and it's nice to know the covenant God made with Noah and Abraham. But the most important covenant you want to know about is that covenant which is sealed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent his Son to the cross to die for your sin. And in that death, that's the agreement that God makes with you. "I provide for you a Redeemer, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And that covenant never goes away. That is an everlasting covenant for forever. Now, this covenant that God makes with Abraham tells us quite a bit about the coming Redeemer. And this covenant that God makes with Abraham, you may not be Jewish, but you're going to find that a good part of the covenant with Abraham has to do with you. You notice, for example, verse 3 that we read, it said, "In thee shall all the covenants of the, all the families of the earth be blessed." All the families. So even if you're not Jewish, you could say, well, through that covenant of Abraham, as I learn about it, as I understand it, I'm going to see that there's a blessing for me in it. Last Sunday, we spoke about this covenant God made with Noah, and we said that it was a wonderful covenant. It did not speak about redemption. It spoke about the setting up of the government as we know upon the earth. And it's still that government which is enforced. The powers that be are ordained of God, and therefore we are to be obedient unto government, because government is God's idea as to how the earth should be governed. And we read that verse that God gave to Noah, that "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And we read the corresponding verses in the book of Romans, that the Bible says, "Therefore, be subject to the powers which are higher than you," that is, governors and sheriffs and presidents, "and give honor to whom honor is due, and pay taxes to whom taxes are due." And it says, "Be good, because that one who has authority over you, he beareth not the sword in vain." And then the second part of the covenant with Noah was that God said to Noah, "Now I'm going to continue to be faithful to men. There'll never again be another flood. The sun is going to come up every morning. Seed time and harvest are going to come. The long suffering of God is going to be upon all the earth as God gives man an opportunity for repentance." We read that verse in the book of Peter, that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. And the great sign of Noah's covenant was the rainbow. And God said, "When you look there and you see the rainbow in the sky, you will know of the long-suffering of God to man." And you know, this morning, you may not be a believer, you may not be a Christian, but you can still praise God for his goodness to you. God permits you to get out of bed every morning. God raises the sun for you every morning. God provides that the harvest is going to come in. You can enjoy the beauty of the moonlight. You can enjoy the beauty of the Grand Canyon. Those things are not salvation, but they are part of the goodness of the long-suffering of God to you. And God said that as long as the earth will endure, you know, he will not bring another flood like that. And he will be long-suffering and faithful that his word go forth. You know, in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 4 speaks to us of times which the Bible speaks of as times of tribulation. great tribulation upon the earth. And John, the Apostle John, is caught up to heaven. And in heaven he sees the throne of God. And it's a time of great judgment on the earth. And John said, out of that throne I saw lightning come. Out of that throne I saw thunder come. You know, someone might say, well, the time of the great tribulation, that's going to be the end of the earth. Well, of course it isn't. And John said, but as I looked at that throne, he said, above that throne, I saw a rainbow, the long-suffering and the mercy of God. And we know that even in tribulation times, that's not the end of the earth, and that the Lord Jesus is going to come and set up his millennium period. And so those were things that were true of the covenant of Noah. But in the covenant of Abraham, we have a promise of a Redeemer. The covenant of Abraham deals with redemption. And the covenant of Abraham says the blessing, that through Abraham, blessings will go to all the families of the earth. Now, just turn to Genesis chapter 22, where about 40 years later, God is still speaking about his covenant to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 22, and in verse 17, God repeats this promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, that is, thy seed on earth shall be victorious. And then verse 18, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, he said, Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And as you read that verse, you say, well, how are all the families of the earth going to be blessed in Abraham? And now the Lord makes it a little clearer in verse 17, Genesis 22, in thy seed. In thy seed, Abraham, there's going to be a descendant who comes from you. You're going to be the ancestor of a descendant who comes from you. And through him, blessing will flow forth unto all the nations. Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And there are other things you could say about this covenant. There's the establishment of the nation of Israel and a great many other things. But this is the verse, the heart and soul of the covenant God made with Abraham. That verse that reaches out to every person upon the earth. Abraham, I'm going to, through you, I'm going to provide a redeemer to all the world. Abraham, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, turn with me for a moment to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Book of Galatians, chapter 3. You know, last year, in the middle of last year, I was here on a Tuesday evening and just speaking a message. And I referred to some of these verses, but now bringing them back into this setting, I trust that we can get a real blessing from them. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And here's the Apostle Paul as he writes to the churches of Galatia, and he's writing a Christian message, he's writing Christian things. He just takes that one phrase right out of the Abram covenant. He said, God had said unto Abraham, that in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, in thy seed. And Paul says, the Spirit of God through Paul says in Galatians 3:8, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, if you have a King James Version, which is the version I'm speaking from, as you read this verse, you're not quite sure how the verse breaks, you know. God preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Does it mean that before the gospel, God preached to Abraham? You know, some people might read that. I want to tell you, by the way, right up front, that's not what the verse says. But someone might read it that way. Before the gospel, God preached to Abraham. You go to this person and say, when did the gospel begin? He says, the gospel began when Jesus Christ was born. The gospel began in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Is that when the gospel began? Is that when the gospel? What is the gospel? What is the truth of the gospel? The truth of the gospel is that God would provide a redeemer for man. Isn't that the truth of the gospel? What is the good news of the gospel? God will send you a redeemer. What is that great gospel verse that we quote so often? God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's the gospel, isn't it? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so when we preach the gospel, we say God has provided a redeemer for you. My friends, Abraham knew that, didn't he? He absolutely knew that. God would provide for him a redeemer. God had said it to him. God had said, Abraham, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so the way that verse should be read is this. God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, or as the New King James Version has it, God preached beforehand the gospel unto Abraham. So, you know, if you meet Abraham in heaven, you could say to him, Abraham, we both enjoyed the gospel. He knew the gospel. He knew that God was going to provide him a redeemer. He might not know that that redeemer was also going to be the Son of God. He didn't know that God would, that Redeemer would be born of a virgin. He didn't know a number of things, but he knew that from his descendancy, God was going to provide a Redeemer. Now, look, and therefore, he knew the gospel, didn't he? The Abraham covenant proclaims the gospel. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the gospel. Now look down a little further in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed which is Christ. And so here's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, when God said, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, he was talking about one person. You know, in our language, the word seed is plural and singular. I say seed, you know, you go to the store to buy seed, you just say seed, not seeds. And someone might get the idea that, well, the blessing of God is going to come through that great nation that came from Abraham, through the seeds of Abraham, that or somehow the seed of Abraham was the nation of Israel. And this morning, someone could stand up and say, somehow through the nation of Israel, all of us are also going to be blessed by God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Abraham, there's going to be one descendant of yours. One descendant. That's what Paul writes here. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but unto thy seed as of one. And Paul says, and thy seed is Christ. If I were to say to you this morning, who is the seed of Abraham? You would say the seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. If I were to say, who is that Redeemer that the Lord promised through Abraham? He says that Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is through that Redeemer, that one who would come from Abraham, that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Isn't that what the Bible says here? He says, for example, in thy seed, is Christ, Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, you know, at this time, it might be a good idea. I know we did this last week, in a sense, with Noah's covenant. but it might be a good idea to just do it again to compare on the one hand the long-suffering of God. That's what you get in Noah's covenant. That's what that rainbow stands for. God is going to continue to be faithful to you, faithful to the world. The long-suffering of God on the one hand that you read about in Noah's covenant with the blessings of God that come through Abraham's covenant. Abraham and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You think for a moment about the long-suffering of God, you know. You don't have to be a Christian in order to live to be 100. You don't have to be a Christian to be well. You don't have to be a Christian to have your garden grow. The Bible says the rain falleth on the just and the unjust. You don't have to be a Christian to enjoy the sunset and the sunrise. You don't have to be a Christian to be able to go out and get a good job. You don't have to be a Christian to be able to have enough to eat or anything. In a million different ways, the long-suffering and goodness of God reaches out to you. And that's what the Noah covenant is, that God will be long-suffering to the people upon the earth. But if you want the blessings of God, that comes through Jesus Christ. See? If you want the forgiveness of sin, that comes through Jesus Christ. Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. If you want the forgiveness of sin, that comes through Jesus Christ. If you want a righteousness perfect before God, that comes through Jesus Christ. If you want eternal life, you can't get that by looking at the rising of the sun. You can't get eternal life by noticing rainbows in the sky. If you want eternal life, that comes through Jesus Christ. If you want a home in heaven, that comes through Jesus Christ. If you want to truly be in the church, that comes through Jesus Christ. The blessings of God come through Jesus Christ. The rain falleth on the just and the unjust, but the blessings of God come through Jesus Christ. That's what the covenant of Abraham is. Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How are they going to be blessed? Abraham, the Redeemer is going to come through you, and all of my blessings come through that Redeemer. That's a lesson that the world really has to learn. All the blessings you want come through Jesus Christ. That's the way they come. Turn in the New Testament to the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. The very first book in the New Testament, the very first chapter of the very first book. And we would ask ourselves the question, what is the very first thing the New Testament teaches you? What is the very first fact the New Testament teaches you? The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then after that comes the genealogy that traces. Notice, for example, in verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So in verse 2, it is Abraham begot Isaac. And in verse 13, in verse 16, it is that the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, can claim, nevertheless claim Joseph as his father, Joseph, who is in a direct line of Abraham. And so from verse 2 to verse 16, the very first thing that the New Testament tells you is Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. That is the first thing it says. Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And the very first thing the New Testament says is Jesus Christ is that seed of Abraham. He is the one that the blessings of God will go to all people. Look at verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So 14, 14, 14, 42 men. 42 men from father to son, 42 generations in an unbroken line from Abraham to Jesus. From the promise that God gave to Abraham, 42 generations later, that promise is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting, as you read verse 17, it says that God has a timetable. And then as you read verse 17, you say, but by myself, I could never figure it out, you know. 14 generations from Abraham to David, would you figure that out, you know? If you started reading the Bible in the book of Genesis, and you read from Genesis to Samuel, and you're reading about Abraham, and then in Samuel, you're reading about David, and you would say, well, you know, the great striking thing of all of this is that there are 14 generations from Abraham to David. I'd never say that in a million years, you know. But God knew that. God said, that's the way I'm going to figure it. And from David to the captivity are 14 generations. Did you know that? Good thing that God told us that, you know. And from the captivity, from when they came back from Babylon, to the coming of Jesus Christ, 14 generations. You know, sometimes when you think about the coming of the Lord Jesus again, and over 300 times in the Bible, it says Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And we know he's coming, but I'll tell you, when you get to heaven, you can say to the Lord, well, what was that timetable? And the Lord will give it to you. Say, here, it's plain as day. But, you know, until he shows it to you, never in all the world, I think, are you going to get it. And here it is in Matthew chapter 1. Well, 14 generations, Abraham to David. 14 generations, David to the captivity. 14 generations from the captivity to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Turn Genesis chapter 17 for a moment. Now, this is 25 years after God had made his covenant with Abraham for the first time. And he hadn't given him a son yet. The beginning of the ancestry of Abraham had not begun. And this is what he says to Abraham. Abraham is 100 years of age, still waiting for that son. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 17, God comes and changes his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. He still doesn't have any children, you know. Must have been a little embarrassing, you know. My name is Abraham. The Lord named me, you know. Really? How many children do you have? Well, I don't have any children, but the Lord named me, you know. He said a great multitude of people are going to come out of me. Well, Genesis chapter 17. Notice, for example, verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant. This covenant that God makes with Abraham, it is everlasting. The blessings that are going to come through Jesus Christ unto all nations, that is everlasting. There is nothing else that has to come after the cross. There is nothing else that has to be added to redemption. Everything we need to be blessed of God comes through Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And so God says in verse 7, this covenant is going to be everlasting. Now, notice, for example, in verse 16, as he speaks about Sarah, he says, I'll bless Sarah and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Sarah was 90 years of age. 90 years of age. And the Bible says in verse 17, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He just didn't believe it anymore. He was 100. Sarah was 90. What is the sense of speaking about a future descendant? Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear, you know? You know, we read in this chapter that Abraham laughed. We read in chapter 18 that when Sarah had a chance to think about the covenant with God, that she laughed. I want you to notice that when God says, that he's going to give them a son, he says in verse 21, my covenant will I establish with Isaac. He says, Abraham, when you have that child, I want you to call him Isaac, which means laughter. You know, I think every time Abraham, you know, he would call his son, it reminds him, in a sense, of his unfaithfulness of his covenant with the Lord. Well, look at verse 18. Abraham says to the Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, you remember that Abraham and Sarah, when they decided that God really couldn't fulfill this covenant, Abraham was too old. Sarah was too old. Sarah said, look, take up my handmaiden, Hagar, have a son by her, then present that son to the Lord, you know, and let God work out his descendancy through that son. And here is Abraham. Then he says, Lord, just take Ishmael. Ishmael was about 13 years of age. He was Abraham's son, wasn't Sarah's son. Lord, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And when you think about that, you just think in your heart how many times you've done that. You know, you offer up your prayer before the Lord. Lord, I've worked it all out. Now all you've got to do is bless it. Say, and the Lord says, wait a minute, that's not the way it's going to be. Great professors in Princeton University, you know, of theology. They say, let me see about salvation. Well, I think about salvation. Well, the Bible really never asks you what you think about salvation. God never in the Bible says, what do you think about salvation? God says, this is the way salvation is going to be. Salvation is going to be through my son. Salvation is going to be through my son. And when Abraham says, that Ishmael might live before thee. Look at verse 19. God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and you'll call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him, and it will be an everlasting covenant. As far as Ishmael is concerned, as far as the world is concerned, I'll bless him, but I can't use him. Abraham, the way of salvation is going to come exactly the way I said. It's going to come through your son, a son through you, a son through Sarah. You're going to call him Isaac, and the covenant is going to come through him. You know, whenever I think about Genesis 17, sometimes I think about Christmas. It's not too far away that Christmas has just passed us. And Christmas, in a sense, is a lovely traditional holiday for us. And Christmas, in a sense, the world tries its hardest for blessing, you know. We decorate trees and we sing carols and we light candles and we cook dinners and we bring the family together and we give presents and all sorts of things. We have midnight watches. We even quote verses out there, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And we speak about the Christmas spirit, although we're not quite sure what that means. And sort of at Christmas time, we lift the whole thing up to God. And we say, Lord, can't you just take this and use it? And can't there be peace on earth? And can't these wonderful feelings just go throughout all the year? Don't you see our hearts are right, you know? You know, driving to the chapel this morning, you drive through some of the neighborhood streets, you see the Christmas trees out on the curb now to be picked up. You know, there's no more decoration, no more presents. Christmas is gone. We're just right back to the same thing. And you know, despite all of the joy that we get in Christmas, if you wanted to carefully read Genesis chapter 17, you could almost hear God saying this. The blessing of God doesn't come through Christmas trees. It doesn't come through ornaments. It doesn't come through lighted candles. It doesn't come through plum pudding. It doesn't come through Ebenezer Scrooge. It doesn't come through Tiny Tim. It doesn't come through Christmas dinners. It doesn't come through the giving of presents. It doesn't come through getting the family together. as wonderful as all of those things are, the blessing of God comes through Jesus Christ. The blessing of God. If you want the blessing of God, the way to get it is to accept God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, in your seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not through Ishmael, not through any other ideas that you have, in your seed. I'm going to give you a son. His name is to be called Isaac. And 42 generations later, I'm going to bring the Redeemer. And it's through him that blessing and forgiveness go to all people. Can we just close with... I'd like to sing a hymn called Calvary Covers It All. If anybody, number 278. Could we stand and sing this hymn to close? 278. Calvary covers it all. My past, which is sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took them on them there, and Calvary covers it all. Number 278.